So good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Besides going, oh, Dave's up front. Now, it's a good day. It's a really good day. Sunshine, blue sky, smiles on our faces, smiles in our heart. We're no longer shoveling 6 feet of snow in our front yard, driveway, all those kinds of things, right? So today, if you haven't already figured out the theme, it's called Ode to Joy. And I dedicate that to Ode of Joy that was written in 1824 by the world famous Beethoven. So we're not going to sing it. Don't worry. We're not going to sing it. But I do want to talk about joy. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. They are very different. So the thing that I want to cover right now is that we had Easter, seems like forever, but it's only been a week, right? It hasn't been very long. But during that 40 days from the time Christ rose again, before his ascension, the disciples went through a lot of emotional change. It wasn't just the intellectual, what just happened sort of thing. It was in the heart, confusion, a little chaos, bewilderment. The Bible Luke, Mark, and John, there were five different emotions they went through, that the writers are very specific in what they said. The disciples, of course, were very frightened because the man they had just lived with for 3 years, morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week, all that, he was dead. They watched him die. He was crucified. So they had a lot of grief that they were dealing with. They had a lot of, what is going on here? And then when he reappears, they're not quite sure what to expect or to really think. So they were frightened. They had joy. They had a lot of unbelief. They didn't know what to think. What they had known for 3 years was ripped out from them. You know, it's the old carpet ripped out from underneath somebody. That's what they went through. They also had faith. And faith comes out very clearly towards the end of Jesus' time when he's on the beach at early in the morning. And it's when John and Peter realize that as the Lord is beckoning them, at first they don't realize who it is. And then as he has that little fire going, he's cooking some fish, and they say, "It's the Lord." And all of them went immediately to be with Jesus on the beach. So they were frightened, they had joy, unbelief, faith, but ultimately they also rejoiced. But that first day that Jesus came to them, reappeared to them, because remember, the women had already said, "Jesus is alive," and they didn't believe. Hence the unbelief. They didn't believe. And then all of a sudden, he shows up. He just shows up. I wish I could move like that. But he showed up. Whether through the door, through the wall, out of the ceiling, he just appeared. And they're all in amazement. And they're going, "Is this really Jesus?" And Jesus tells them, "Look at the wounds. Look at the wounds on my feet, the piercing on my side. It's really me." So a little bit of that unbelief starts to go away. A little bit of the fears that they had. A little bit of the, "Oh my gosh, what has happened?" is now maybe a little inkling of happiness. A little bit of joy is starting to show up. So they had things to work through. I cannot imagine for a second what it must have been like for them to go from the Passover meal, because remember, their world started being turned upside down that night, going from the Passover meal, which really turned out to be a sacrificial meal of Jesus himself, his crucifixion, death, resurrection. I'm sure the next 40 days were quite the ride for them as they realized Jesus was really around. He was actually back. And then, of course, at the end of 40 days, we have the ascension. So let's go back. Can you bring Galatians 5 back up, Ken, if you would, please? All right, so there's a couple of things here I want you to see. One is that I'm talking about joy. I'm not talking about happiness. They're not the same thing. happiness is just an emotion. It's a roller coaster. It's a sine wave. You're up one day happy, the next day you're way down in the dumps. And then you're back up again. Whereas joy is an attitude. It's a condition of the heart. But notice, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Love. What's the second word? Joy. The love portion is your foundation. That's what makes it all work. And I talked about this in the first service, and Bob could certainly attest to this, that when you play cymbals, and I remember in first grade, we all had these little tiny, tinny cymbals, and when they'd crash, I don't know how the teacher did it, but here's 30 of us little kids, all a bunch of little six-year-old germ factories, all playing with the cymbals and making a clanking sound. Well, that's what love is. That's what your walk is without love, is you're like cymbals that just make a noise. It mentions that specifically in the New Testament. So they're just making noise. But when you have God's love with that joy that's deep in your heart, you know the song, I got joy, joy, joy deep down in my heart? That's really what it's talking about, is that it's in deep within you. It's not right here. It's down here inside. So happiness and joy are not the same thing. The first fruit is love. The second one is joy, and it's a progression. Now, all nine fruits, God might be working on you at the same time on all of them, but not to the same level of intensity. But you have to have the love to make it all happen. And then once you have the love and you see how things work, because that's called faith, and you really start having a better understanding and believing in what God can do in your life, are each one of you a miracle here? All of you better be having your hands up and you're all saying, I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. And that's God's love working in you. So you can be joyful in that. So you go from God's love as a foundation to everything else. All right, let's have photo number one up there, Ken. In case you didn't figure this out, me being raised in Salem, Oregon, I'm an Oregon State University Beaver kind of guy. And that is two of the Beaver players after their celebration this last December of U of O being stomped by Oregon State Beavers. That's the third oldest rivalry in the nation for football. And it's with glee that they play their games every year. That's happiness. That picture exudes happiness. Now, there's some joy in there, I'm sure, but it doesn't last very long because this is happiness. Me too. Anytime the Ducks lose, I'm happy. But with them showing that happiness, it'll come and go. It'll come and go. Football starts again in August. Summer camp, all that. So that happiness starts all over again. But the joy is different. So in happiness, they're extreme. That celebration was extreme. Part of what I was doing was, what are some of the songs that would go along with these different emotional states or states of attitude like joy? And so for me, I got to thinking about, what song would I show Oregon State Beavers having won their annual football game against Oregon? How many of you remember the 60s? A few of you. I don't think there was anybody in the first service that didn't remember the 60s. But in the 60s, there was a particular group, and they're one of my favorite, and it's called Three Dog Night. I like Three Dog Night. But one of their songs that was appropriate for that photo, for that example, is their song, Joy to the World. No, we're not going to sing it. But it's Joy to the World because it talks about happiness. That song also happens to be a peace song that was written in the late, I think, 1971. So it was about peace. But it was also about joy throughout the whole world. And so what does it feed? That sort of song feeds the happiness level of us. It feeds the brain. It makes us feel happy, but it doesn't last very long. Remember, joy's long-lasting. Happiness is short-lived and is strictly driven by the moment. Kind of like when you pay your taxes. Now, some of you may go, Dave, I don't like paying taxes. I'm with you. I feel your pain. But on the other hand, for those of us that pay out, being able to already have the money in place to pay the taxes and not worry about setting up a payment plan, that's joy. That is joy in my heart. So, the tax man cometh, and he got paid. But it's because the Lord had already set Raquel and I up with what we needed in the bank. So all I had to do was say, yes, take it here, and we could pay it in full, and we're good now for another year. That's a praise the Lord. That's a joy kind of thing, because it shows us, once again, how God works in my life and in the life of my wife, Raquel. Same for each of you. God works in your lives. Anybody here saying God's not working in your life? Better not be. Jane, put your hand back down. But God works. Now, you could be the most miserable person in the world and still have that joy, because happiness is dependent on the moment. Joy is with you throughout your life. That's the thing I want you to grab, to understand. Let's go to the next one. All right. So this is a celebration. Does anybody here, okay, anybody here know where that picture might be by any chance? Bob. You're cheating. Okay. For those of you that don't know, that picture represents, especially take a look at the flag up there at the top. This is VE Day, Victory Europe, May 1945. That is Times Square. And in Times Square, they estimate a minimum of 1 million people packed into Times Square. They actually figure it's somewhere closer to 2 million. But that is celebration. That is not just happiness. That is celebration. That is joy at the national level. Because World War II was over. Now, the war with Japan in the Pacific lasted another 3 months, and then it was over. That was in August. But that was incredible celebration. That was incredible national joy that carried for a long time. For a long time. Now, there's an example of national celebration in 2 Samuel, in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel, chapter 5, I believe, or chapter 6. And it's where David is taking, he and his, the people of Israel, taking the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem to go to the holy tent, to the tabernacle where God would reside, because the temple was not yet built. And his joy, it wasn't just happiness, it was joy, because David and God had a really special relationship. In spite of his sins, he had that overwhelming joy in the Lord. So he danced with just an ephod on, a linen cloth. He was naked otherwise. And so his wife, Michal, second story balcony, looking at him going, "What are you doing?" He's dancing essentially naked at the altar in front of God, and all nation of Israel's with him. Now, by today's standards, that's a big no. But in those days, that was a celebration in the Lord, and the Lord honored it. That was joy. And he had to explain to Michal, says, "I was celebrating with the Lord the return of the Ark of the Covenant." Because what did the Ark of the Covenant represent? Anybody? What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? It represented God's what?
Presence,
his authority, the seat of power. That's what was important about the Ark of Covenant. So wherever it went, oh, there's God. So, of course, God's everywhere. But that was a specific visual for them. So he's very joyous because he understood the power of the Ark of the Covenant just in the physical sense, the importance of it. So for him, he had this deep-rooted joy of being before the Lord. Now, the song that goes with this. Again, let's go back to the song. Beethoven's Ode to Joy, 1824. Beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. It has such importance in this world that the European Union, which is an economic union, that's got nothing to do with NATO or anything like that, that is their national anthem for the European Union, is the Ode to Joy. And it's a song recognized, Bob, let me know if I'm wrong, incorrect, but I believe it's a song that's known worldwide. And for me, I like to listen to it on my phone when I'm playing YouTube and I'm traveling somewhere and I'm listening to it, and it'll play Ode to Joy. And I get so relaxed listening to that. It's a joyful, happy song, but more than anything, it feeds me deep inside. Not just up here, but it feeds me deep inside. And it's important that you look in your growth of joy. It's important that you have things in your life that make it possible to have joy, not just happiness. The Ode to Joy. I know some music only feeds the brain, but Ode to Joy feeds the whole person. My whole body feels good. I just, kind of like soaking in the Holy Spirit, it just soaks in, and I just love to listen to it. Let's go to the next one, Ken. So you go, Pastor Dave, why are we showing a jail? Believe it or not, it's actually possible to have joy when you're in jail. I haven't been there myself. Okay? But it's possible to have joy in the jail because we have at least three specific examples of it in the New Testament. One is with Paul in the Gospel of Acts, or in the letter of Acts. But it's also in the Gospels. The first time that all the apostles, they call them disciples, but it's the apostles themselves, they're all arrested together and put in jail. Go ahead and put the picture back up, Ken. Jail's not a great place. When I worked for the sheriff's office out in Salem, Oregon many, many years ago, I put people in jail. They didn't like it. Don't know why. They didn't like it. I had to work there too, so I didn't always like it, but it was a good job. But jail for Peter and Paul and the apostles, when they got thrown in jail, they were joyful. Now, why in the world do you think the apostles would be joyful about being in jail? Anybody want to hazard a guess, Jane? See how I picked on you? Anybody want to say, why were they joyful about being in jail?
Because they were being persecuted for Jesus' sake.
Yes! Yes! Because they were felt they were worthy enough. They use that. They were worthy enough to be in jail to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Us in our 21st century brains cannot possibly understand that. I don't understand it. I'll admit it. That's something. It's at the intellectual level. It's not down here yet. Now I don't want to be in jail to figure it out. But it's for them. It was the persecution, like you said, persecution, suffering in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's where it was at. Because who was the enemy of the state at the time? Who was the enemy of the state? First of all, who was the state? The Romans. And were they really nice people? No. They'd come to your country, meet new people, and take it over. That was their thing. They'd conquer the land immediately. But the Christians were now the new enemy of the state for the Rome. So anything they could do to squash it. Now, who was encouraging the Romans to put the apostles in jail? The Pharisees, they were putting them in jail. So, of course, to be considered worthy of Christ, to be persecuted, wow, what an honor. They wore that proudly. They wore that garment, that spiritual garment, proudly. So what they show in that picture about the jail, it's an issue of they can be joyful in any situation. So I shared this a little bit with the first with the first service. So I was up at Aldersgate there in Brigham City for over 5 years. And then the last week of September, I had a massive nervous breakdown. Ended up in the hospital. Some of the congregation took me to the hospital, and I was treated by doctors and everything. And on that following Monday, I was at the VA, because I'm a vet. I was up at the VA Medical Center up by the U, getting emergency treatment. And then I went into 6 months of 10 hours per week intense therapy, very intense therapy. And that's why I'm not up there right now. I'm on medical disability for being up there. And I'm no longer assigned there simply because of my medical condition. It's all upstairs. But when I broke down, I was in a very, very dark place, kind of thinking like the jail. It was very painful for me. My world came to an end as far as I was concerned. And I wasn't suicidal or anything like that. It was just, I was in a very, very black, dark place. And it took that 6 months, and I just finished my therapy, my initial 6 months of therapy, a couple weeks ago. But I was in a very dark place. But in spite of all that, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, saying, Dave, you're okay. You're going through this dark time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Psalms 23. That's the way it was for me. Very dark, but I was still joyful because I knew God was in control. So here I am, back here with my home church, which I appreciate deeply. But that was a very dark time. So don't think that, you guys are used to seeing me as more of unbridled enthusiasm and being the Tigger and everything like that. But that was a very terrible time for me. And as I look at myself today compared to now almost 7 months ago, I'm in a good place. I'm alive, I'm happy, emotional state. But I have this joy of the Lord because I know the Spirit is working in a deep work within me. He's not done with me. Anybody think God's done with you? Okay, good thing you're not saying, yeah, he's done, because I guarantee you he's not. Okay, so back to the jails. You can have joy at any time, believe it or not. Last slide, Ken. I like this slide. I like this slide. You had four young children there. I think they're girls. They're all jumping up and down. Now, do they look happier or do they look a little more joyful? They might be happy. It could be a picture of them on the last day of school and summer break is coming up. And they're very joyful over that. But they're excited. And what they're doing is, even when things look dark, in your heart, you can be this. Now, I mentioned Tigger. I like Winnie the Pooh. It's a fun story. I'm Tigger. And so if you feel sometimes like you're an Eeyore, don't be. Let the picture of those four girls jumping up in the air, having a good time, celebrating, let that be you. Now, not everybody can be a Tigger because we wear out quick sometimes. But we still have that joy. And really, that's my message to you this morning, is you can still have joy even though your happiness level is down in the mud someplace. Or even though it looks really, really dark, you're still can be full of joy because God is not done with us in any way, shape, or form. How many of you are familiar with the picture of the footsteps in the sand? Okay. What is the theme of that picture and the little statement that goes with it? What's the point of it? You what? Right, you never walk alone because who's actually carrying you? The Holy Spirit is carrying you like this all the time. Even though you say, I got it. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit is with you, guiding you, mentoring you, coaching you, consoling you, loving you. All those things. And so God is with us always. So I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Psalms 126. Psalms 126, all of Psalms is a song. In case you didn't know, it's all a song. But Psalms 126 specifically is a song of joy. Read that sometime. It's going to be verses 1 through 6. So Psalms 126, 1 through 6 is a song, it's a psalm of joy. And then I point you in one more direction. Psalm 100. I love Psalm 100. Verses 5 and 6. And say it with me if you know the words. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And it's a beautiful song, a beautiful psalm of praise, but joy. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Can we all say amen to that? So here's my question to you. Oh, one other thing I forgot about the kids jumping up and down. James 1. Anybody familiar with the first chapter of James? Okay, Dave, you're going to let us know. James 1, verse 4, 5, 6, and more says, "Brethren, I count it all joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations in your life, because that it strengthens you, encourages you, builds patience in you." Anybody have a patience problem? Yeah, keep your hands up there. So, but it builds all these things in you, because God says you're going to go through some trials and tribulations in order for you to grow. So count it all joy when God brings a trial in your life. Anybody in a trial right now? Anybody walking in perfection right now? Okay. But you're already in the end result. You're already perfect in God. Yes? But we still have to go through our character building while we're here on earth. We're going through trials and tribulations. There's nothing wrong with that. And then one other thought. Who in here has read the book of Revelations? What do you think? What do you think of the book of Revelations? When I was 11 and 12 years old, I would grab our family Bible and I would go sit in the corner of the living room behind an overstuffed chair so nobody could see me, and I'd be reading the book of Revelations. Now, my little peanut-sized brain at the time read Revelations, and I was terrified, especially when the part things about demons coming up out of the earth and everybody being attacked and all this. My little warrior mind could not handle this. But as I've gotten older, I've discovered that the book of Revelation is actually a book of joy. Anybody think about that? It's a book of joy because it lets us know for sure that, in fact, Satan has already been defeated and he will be thrown into the lake of fire, the lake of Gehenna. There is victory at the end, and we already have that victory through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So when you read Revelations, don't be afraid of it. Because Satan is still trying to figure out how to overcome it. But he knows the book better than we do. But he's already lost. So next time you read Revelations, read it from a point of joy. I don't care if it's happiness or not, but point of joy, because we have the victory. That's the important part. So I leave you with two questions. Well, actually, one question. When you leave here today and you go home, how are you going to be? Are you going to be full of joy? Deep down in your heart? Joy, 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 deep down in my heart? Or are you just going to operate with the sine wave, the curve of happiness now, not so happy later on, that sort of thing? I would say, go to the Lord and say, I want that joy that Dave's talking about. I want that joy. I don't see it right now, but I want that joy. Happiness comes and goes. That's an emotion. But deep down inside, joy is there forever. Are you willing to take it on? Everybody? Are you willing to take it on? Say, Lord, I want that joy. So go for it. Say, Lord, I want that joy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.